Welcome to the Avance Podcast. I'm Dan.
I'm Nick.
How's it going, man?
I'm good. I'm back. I'm cooler.
Cooler, yeah. It's not 105 degrees
that's
here.
That's ridiculous.
It's typically raining and shitty like it always is.
I think I'm going to get on my Apple box a little bit. Like, it's like everybody I talk to in Arizona, is, I'm like, how do you guys do this? Oh, we just go inside. Then why do you live here?
9 months of the year of usable weather versus yeah.
I get 3 months
of weather.
I get that, but it's just
have
like
to stay inside versus 9 months of rain and 3 months you get to go outside.
Yeah, but like, and I think I'm going to complain a little bit. Like, and our guest brought this up to me, and I didn't actually think about it till he said it. Like, I spent my time in a hangar on a tarmac, which just reflects heat around all these products, like, you know, jet engines and cars that radiate the heat, and so yeah. We pivoted on the event, and a lot of our stuff that was outside got pulled inside.
Yeah.
Mainly the band, who are wonderful, and they would have died in the heat. So, you know, there was that. But, you know, went through 250 pounds full of ice, you know, trying to keep people cool and things like that. So, but the event was good. Raised a lot of money for Angel Flight, which does a lot of good. So,
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's great, man.
Yeah. Well, how you been?
Very, very painfully busy. But it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Work's just really busy. It's a really busy time of year for us. It's a busy year for us, not time of year. It's a busy year for us, and my team is busy expanding. And
well, tell us about all the secret stuff that's going on.
Yeah, so no problem. Let's just throw that NDA out the window. Yeah.
Well, you don't need to go. That. Nobody listens to this.
You should buy this stock. No, yeah. Just kidding.
Buy Apple. Nope, don't ask me why. Nice. Well, good. I mean, I guess busy's good because you're staying busy, but
no, it's good.
Obviously all the little stuff kind of goes to the wayside.
Yeah. It's hard to keep projects moving at home when there's many I want to do, as you have seen.
Well, you have a brand new project, like with the truck, and that's...
Yeah. I haven't had time to schedule my S-Tech or getting my windows tinted and S-Tech as well, but it's like, I really need to get that done. I haven't been driving it very much, so whatever, but I don't like not having it done. I feel naked, Nick.
You feel naked?
Naked without my S-Tech.
It is weird. I mean, the one thing I figured you would get done quicker than anything was the tent. Cause like you don't realize how much you're in a fishbowl until you drive around in a car. Like, that's one of the things. I don't think Kate listens to these. That's okay. I'm going to get her window tint one of these days, because driving around in her Forester, everybody sees me, and I'm just like, I'm not that popular, but still, I feel like it's just everybody can kind of see what you're doing. So
yeah.
Why isn't he wearing pants? Why is he eating a burrito? Things like that. It's none of their business. So,
I definitely need to get that done. I've talked about that. I don't really have any major mod plans for the truck yet. Kind of see how I end up using it. I'm honestly kind of saving money for the massive growing list of mods for the Bronco. So we're waiting. I mean, I'm expecting a 2025 refresh. Otherwise, we just go buy one now. But I'm waiting to see what comes out. Because they'll usually do it's about the time Ford would do a refresh.
What, didn't they already do the refresh? Isn't that why the fenders are painted now and all that stuff?
That's just like minor. That's not really a refresh. Refresh will be like a new front end design a little bit, maybe some different lights, maybe a higher resolution dash screen, stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm really hoping for cooled seats. That would make things much better in a vehicle we plan to take to the desert a lot. My I've got like 20 grand in mods already picked out for that thing. So gotta get the high clearance bumpers, like that's first and foremost, because we now that I have like a purpose-built off-road vehicle coming, and that's really all it's gonna do. Yeah, the list of mods changes extensively. It's not doing double duty. So
you know, Kate's not a real big car person, which I kind of love. And we have those her friends and my friends, they got the Raptor Bronco. And when I was gone, she went up and saw them, and she calls me and she goes, "This is really nice. It's very comfortable inside." And I was like, "Yeah, and it's way out of our budget, so get out of the car." I was like, I want one of those too, but what Ford is asking for them is higher than I want to make a monthly payment on. So
The bumpers, high clearance bumpers, rear diff skid plate, first thing, better sliders. I'm gonna go because Sean is only like 5'5", we're gonna do the slider steps, the actual sliders, but they are actual power steps as well. Mm-hmm. So they make them, you just got to pay for them, but they're worth it because to get them nice and tucked in and actually have a slider, because obviously I use my sliders. And then probably not tune it right away, but it should be. But then, of course, lights. Off-roading in the desert at night has proven very quickly that, it's worth it to do. So all Baja designs up there, probably some 8 inches on the front, and then a light bar across the top. And then
will that fit in the trailer?
Yeah.
It's just so I'm more thinking width than height.
That's a good question. I don't actually. You're right. I don't think it will.
It's really wide. Like I didn't realize how wide it was. Like
it's wide. It was wide as a Raptor.
When it came to my house, when they brought it to the house, like he parked it right in front of my garage, and I was in my garage, and I was like, yeah, that wouldn't fit. Like height wise, I'd probably be able to do it, but like you'd have to take the fenders off.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to kind of see. Whose steps are outside the?
Those are the ones off of my old Raptor.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saving those for Megan for her because she's doing Rebel Rally. Yeah. And so I just need to put them on her F-150 next time she's over.
Nice.
And so,
okay.
Because she'll need some sliders.
I was like, did you buy sliders? I thought your truck came with sliders. Okay.
No.
Looks good.
Yeah. No. Like I said, I haven't really decided on the mods for the GMC yet. We'll see how it gets used.
There's lots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good tow vehicle, but I don't think it'll go as deep into the woods as the Raptor will.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Just because of the length.
Well, the length, but not to mention the Raptor had a true all-wheel drive system with a limited slip front diff. This doesn't. If I wanted to do off-roading, I would have bought the F-250, honestly. If you want to do mods, the Ford or the Ram, either way, are a much better way to go than the GMC. The GMC drives night and day better on the street, but if that's your thing, like you want to mod your truck to hell and back, buy a Ford. Like it's the platform for the most modifications available. So it depends what you want to do with it. My primary purpose was towing with a little bit of off-roading. Versus the Raptor was like, I want to build this thing to do both. And so, yeah.
I, as I'm building my list of what the next vehicle is for me, and the great thing is now with all the three trucks that I'm thinking about and the regular Broncos on my list, but now everybody's doing the comparison between the Tacoma TRD, the ZR2, and the Raptor.
The Ranger Raptor?
Ranger Raptor. Yeah. Thank you. They're all doing comparisons.
You can't go wrong with any of them from what I've seen.
You really can't. Everybody says if you want to go fast and do stupid shit off-road, that's the Ranger Raptor. I don't want the Trail Hunter. But and that, again, I've set some budgets in my mind. I want to be around 60, 65 probably. I mean, with trade-ins and all that. And they all sit inside that range. The Tacoma TRD, if you don't go Trail Hunter, is 63. The Raptor is 60, and the ZR2 is around, what I booked it at, about 58.
So. I think you would have, knowing you, I think you would have the most fun in the Ranger.
Yeah.
Because its width is its detriment, but for what we do and where we go, unless you want to go do, like, really focus on more trail stuff, then you're going to have the most fun in the Ranger. One, it's going to be probably ride the best on the street. Just having the longer travel of the trucks.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to go everywhere you want to go. You want to go currently off-road.
And that's the thing. And I look at it and I go, okay. And I'm talking to myself. And obviously, I've got a few months to do this. That's why I'm starting this now and I'm starting my research. But I also go, you know, I'm looking at going, I really like the Broncos. I do. I mean, I want...
Well, if you want an off-roader.
Yeah, I would love the truck bed. But also, I'm like, okay...
You got my truck.
I know, but in my mind, like I'm driving my truck around with my bikes in the back, like you know, that, there's that vision. But I think you know, also doing like a Badlands build on a Bronco would be kind of fun, and you know, doing all that and having the what's the package that gives you all the suspension and the
Wild Track?
It's the Sasquatch package.
Oh yeah, Sasquatch package.
I mean, obviously something like that. So, and I think that. You know, we're going to have the upper hand in dealerships here probably pretty soon with the amount of inventory. I mean, even Bronco Raptors are sitting on the lot right now. Yep. So if you're looking at those, go find them. But it's just, again, I've got 6 or 7 months before I really have to make a decision, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, I think, if you want the dedicated off-roader, it's going to be the Bronco. The approach and departure angle. You can't beat that, especially the breakover approach and departure. And that's where all the trucks don't fail. That's just where their weakness is, you know, even with the Gladiator, if you look at that, it's that long rear overhang.
And I love the Gladiator, and I love that Ford finally listened to the Bronco people and they reinforced the steering arms, tie rods that were breaking left and right. So
Well, we should jump into our Carter Automotive Group tip of the week. And this one is brought to you by Carter Automotive Group, of course, but it is inspired by our guest today. And so basically, if you want anything on your vehicle anywhere, you need a way to mount it. So just a little history here. Those little ball mounts everybody looks at, it says Ram mounts, that's where you start. And I don't care what brand you have. If you've got Bullet Point Mounting Solutions or if you've got Quad Lock or whatever brand you choose of, chances are they're all based off of the Ram ball mount.
Great.
And so what I ended up basically Frankensteining my dash mount for my phone together in my truck. I used a Corsa Motorsports dash mount because they have a custom one that's fit just for the dash. And then I changed the ball size. I unscrewed it to a larger one to fit my Peak Design wireless mount. And then I have wireless CarPlay. But this is all thanks to our friends at Ram Mounts.
Okay.
And who's our guest today. So when you are looking for a custom solution in a mount, Ram has, even if you do not buy or start with a Ram mount, I guarantee you that's who you're going to end up with because all of the solutions that you need are probably designed by Ram. And if you are into information overload and want choice overload, go to the Ram website and look at what you've got and start with like the ball mount.
Start in the morning. You'll be done by evening.
Yeah. You'll have a taste of it by evening.
Yeah.
But chances are if you want to mount a aftermarket GPS in your truck and make it look permanent, that's where you're going to go. A lot of people think they're limited to the really crappy suction cup mount that falls off the dashboard every time you get one, and you're not. In fact, if you are an off-roader especially, or if you are a track person where you're under high G-forces or high shock, this is where you want to go back to fix that phone mount because you probably want some kind of telemetry. Maybe you want, like I did for years in the Raptor, and you hated the CarPlay interface for Gaia or Onyx, which are both great apps, but they're just plain difficult to use on a CarPlay system. You don't get the same options you do. Well, then you need to rigid mount your tablet, rigid mount. I used an iPad mini. You'll need an LTE signal, by the way, because those are the ones that have GPS built in. The standard iPads without that don't have GPS. That's really stupid. All Android ones do, but they're not as good. Pick your poison. They all suck. Either way, you got to spend the money and you need to upgrade your mount, or that tablet's going to be in your backseat or cracking your windshield or somewhere out the side of your truck or wherever, or it's going to go flying off your car in a track day. Anyway, go to Ram Mounts, look at your solutions because they're going to have one for it. And you might have to like Frankenstein it together, but they know that. Like, this is like the ultimate Lego builder's dream for mounting solutions. So,
And I do want to add this. Ram Mounts is not a sponsor of Avance.
It's
just a product that Dan and I have used for a long time.
Oh, 20 years probably. I've been using Ram Mounts.
Yeah.
If not longer. I'm trying to think the first time I used one. Oh, actually, I do know one. I was in my patrol vehicle, quote unquote, when I was doing private security, and we had Ram Mounts for everything in there. And that was in case we had to ram something, unrelated to the name. We wanted everything to stay intact. But, I mean, everything from gun mounts to laptop mounts, I had everything. Sure. At my fingertips, and it was really great. So if you've got a commercial solution or whatever, like I said, Avance, and this is not a sponsorship, this is not a paid advertisement, this is just what we use. We've talked about this for years. This is what we're using way before we started with Avance. And if you need a mounting solution, start there, because if you think it doesn't exist, it probably does, and somebody else has probably had the same problem you do. And if you would drive anything even remotely popular, they probably have a mount for it anyway.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you can find what you need. Yeah, you can Frankenstein it together.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that brings us to our guest, Nick. How did I say your last name again?
Lohail.
Lohail. I was going to say Lohan. I don't know why I was thinking that.
I mean,
I've gotten all kinds.
He
of
does months. Look like a depressed childhood star.
Nick Lohail, welcome to the show. So we didn't know when we started this. Ram Mounts is local.
Yeah.
And so you guys don't really have, you don't have like a showroom. We have a nondescript building out of the Seattle area, but yeah, so luckily we have local resources you can reach out to when you're Frankensteining your system together.
Yeah.
And Nick, what is your official title?
Yeah.
I am the Automotive Aftermarket Account Manager.
There we go.
Okay. Probably the guy to talk to.
Yeah. That's how we kind of got connected, is he had posted on Avance that like, hey, we're looking for a Subaru Wilderness for maybe doing some interesting mounts. And thank God to our community, everybody tagged me. And I think within a week, I was out there at their place and had a couple of their engineers and Nick come out, and we were just kind of spitballing and talking and thinking. I mean, again, I was looking at him going, this is what I would like. And this, and I think there, you know, one thing that was kind of interesting to me and after this process, and something is coming, but we don't know yet, is they looked at my car and we pulled apart some stuff. And then he goes, yeah, we'll just reach out to Subaru and get the schematics. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are so big and so bad. Like, the car companies want you guys there, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. No, we, it's really neat. We work, I mean, with OEMs and then on our own stuff and everything in between. And then everything from car companies outside of that, material handling. We do a lot of public safety, aviation, like basically anywhere there's a phone or a tablet, you find Ram mounts, which is, incredible to see. I mean, we found it on, it's been on submersibles, it's been in
got him out that Red PS5 Bull controller stuff. Somewhere.
Oh, too soon. That joke imploded, yeah. Dan. Sorry.
That was good.
There you go. Well, I mean, it's true. Like, and we will encourage, like I said, we've encouraged people, go on the Ram Mounts mm-hmm. page. Just go to rammount.com. Look at activity. It's cars, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, off-road mounts, boat mounts, kayak mounts. When I first thought that, I was like, what the hell? And then I remembered all those guys that go out in the middle of the sea with their fish finders and they're reeling in a marlin in a kayak that's half the size. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Now, yeah. Like paddleboard mounts, mm-hmm.
yeah.
You name it. Like yeah. GoPro yeah. mounts is a big one, I'm sure. I mean, there's just a million different ways to mount things that I've never thought of until I came to your website, and I was like, holy crap, like I never thought about, like you guys have really, really paid attention to the industry. Everything from like vlogging, which is a huge thing, like everything.
Wish it wasn't, but it is.
Yeah.
Nick, talk about a little bit how you got into this. How did you end up at Ram?
So I, you know, way back, 2018, 2017, looking for work, moving on from, I was doing some ISO 9001 consulting.
Okay.
And, a couple years before that, I had gotten the Land Cruiser that I currently have now and, was looking to, you know, looking for a next job. So I sat down with my friends. We had all of our off-road vehicles. We were on some trip and I was thinking through, like, I knew you need to apply at jobs that do this. And
I want to have fun.
I want to do something that's related. And so, went through all the stuff that we had on our trucks. And, you know, at the time, me looking for work, it was what they had on their trucks.
Sure.
Mine was pretty bare bones.
You were looking for a way to get a job so you could put stuff on your truck. Yeah, I got it.
And was looking at all the local companies. And that's how I found out, you know, like ARB has their, ARB USA has their office here. And
there are so many hidden off-road. And I mean, the ARB office is kind of hidden away down south. And you really, and by the way, they don't really like you coming there.
Yeah.
I tried that once. They're like, yeah, we don't sell stuff here. Go away.
Yeah.
Very nicely. But yeah. So, yeah.
No. Yeah. And so I started applying around at jobs that did that. And Ram was one of the main ones that popped up and went after it.
Nice.
And fell into it and got into the sales side at Ram. It was really fun. Started out in sales support, so that was more general. So all those different categories you see before I got into more of the automotive and going that way, kind of worked behind the scenes, but also worked with anybody, which was a lot of fun. It, like, there'd be one morning I wake up and I'm on the phone with somebody outfitting an ambulance, and the next moment could be someone calling in for, you know, advice on mounting cameras in some industrial application that's way off the wall. And sure. You know, a couple hundred feet under the water or something like that. Found out that our mounts were the only ones that could mount the camera in a saltwater environment because they're marine grade aluminum. And so, it was,
there's something I never knew and don't want to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's super interesting.
Okay.
This is super up my alley.
So Nick and I are talking and Dan is just like, I can't even concentrate. Dan No, I don't think we ever taken a picture of the studio, but Dan has a monitor in here. That's, well, it's a large TV.
It's a monitor. It's a 48-inch OLED monitor.
And we're looking at the website like we usually do when people come in. And he's flashing through so many things. I'm like, oh, I want that. Wait, no, go.
I'm like, ooh, GPS mounts. Ooh, phone mounts.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I need a GPS mount for my Montana.
Right?
So that's, okay.
And they have one for that.
Well, we just got to find a way to mount it to the dash. Wink, wink.
That's right there.
I know. That's Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can say I'm not the biggest fan of windshield mounts. I feel like it kind of, for some reason, it distracts. It works.
Oh, I have ideas.
My Ram mount has always worked on the windshield.
Oh, yeah, they work. I know why, though. So as we've gotten farther along in crash safety standards, windshield heights have shrunk because the larger the windshield, the less rollover protection you have. And to meet new safety standards, we keep shrinking the available space.
So did anybody tell Tesla that about the Cybertruck?
Yeah, no. So as they shrink down, though, that valuable real estate gets shrunken down. So even mounting a radar detector below your mirror, where it's like the most ideal spot to put a radar detector, is actually dead center right below the mirror because that gives you the best overall view. Mm-hmm. Well, that blocks your field of view from looking across your windshield because, like, if you look at the R8 out there, it's like, it's such a raked windshield that only leaves you like 4 inches below the windshield there. That thing has like no visibility. I can't see stoplights for crap in that car because I'm too tall for it. And so that's why windshield mounts they're harder and harder because windshields keep getting smaller and smaller. The Bronco mm-hmm. one's like 12 inches tall. It's like that big.
And it's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeeps.
Well, and I have trouble with mine because, I mean, and I've used it a couple of times because of the eyesight in the Subaru. You can't have anything within a certain
right.
range on there or it will just freak out.
Super wide angle lenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. I prefer down low too. Same thing. Yeah. I like things kind of at my fingertips by the steering wheel too.
Yeah. That's another thing is the reach. Like even that. So,
well, okay. That's when mm-hmm. you go to their products and you go for, where's the, this thing? What is that called?
The tough ball?
Is it the tough ball?
Or just the arm?
The arm, yeah. So you get these double-ended arms. You can go, mm-hmm. and this is how I move stuff down, like even from where the mounts are at, they come with. If you get a ball mount, I usually move stuff down or around because I don't like it so high up.
Mm-hmm. So. The tough balls are, talk about that a little bit. Like, that's such an interesting idea in the fact of, like, and we're looking at them, mm-hmm. and, like, we were laughing because there's one that you could mount into a tree, and Dan's like, we could mount that onto a
Morgan.
A Morgan. Yeah. Those are made of wood, right? Yeah.
Before you do, this is one thing this is what I struggled with. I ordered a ball from mm-hmm. Ram, and I got it because it was hard to find thread pitch because the Corsa Motorsports mount uses a metric mount. And like all the ones I found were standard. I'm like, oh yeah, they just have them here. I can just go find the ball and the thread pitch and everything right there. Yeah. And I have my little thread chaser thing in the shop. One of my favorite tools I ever bought. I bought mm-hmm. one of those things like you have in the hardware store that allows you to check your thread and pitch and all that. I use that thing all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
I was like, oh, yeah, I have a way to check this.
I can do this.
And then I ordered it. And it works. So anyway.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah.
Nick. How does that?
Yeah. So they're essentially our ball over molded on a bolt.
Yeah.
A hex bolt. And we have different lengths, different thread pitches. M6 through, you know, quarter 20 are kind of the more common ones. Some M10s. But we just found there's a ton of applications where if you have a bolt somewhere and you want to mount, just replace the bolt with mm-hmm. something that has a ball on top, and then all of a sudden you have the mount. It works great. Like the new Broncos, the accessory ready right there on the dash, mm-hmm. that's a quarter 20. And so you just can drop in our quarter 20 ball, and it's right there. We also have the dash track.
That add that to the list.
Holds on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys get some access to cars and things like that before consumers see it for the aftermarket, for like SEMA and things like that?
We usually go with what hits the market. So we don't do a ton of that pre-production stuff, sure. Just because a lot of our stuff is a little more universal. Mm-hmm.
Which is like nice. Like I
said, bolts just bolt in to what's there.
You need to solve the Bronco problem. Did it.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, no, they're great, and you know, I love them. You can put them anywhere. Like it's kind of the weird thing. We have like stick-on. We have stuff for everything, for motorcycles, off-road. Lately, like you mentioned, motorsports, like track, lap timers, etc. Starting to see that quite a bit, and so that's been something I've been looking at. It's like what's needed.
Well, as I'm looking at the studio here, I pulled apart one of our camera mounts because. Same thing. So like I need to permanently get the camera solution figured out in here. It's one of the things we've been wanting to do forever. And like mounting them is a pain in the butt because mm-hmm. I have an open space.
Why don't we get the wood ones and just drill them into the wall.
And then run the extended arms off these. Then I can just fold them out of the way and I have my camera mounts wherever I want them. It's stuff like this that I love because it's like there's a solution for every problem, even if you think nobody's thought
Thanks
of it.
Thanks for adding to his list, Nick. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Right? Anyway.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
What is your most popular like... request for RAM, like what do you see people using these for the most in general? It doesn't have to be the ball mounts. I'm just in general, like what's the bread and butter RAM mounts?
Yeah, the X Grip is probably our most. I'll break it into two ends. Our X Grip is going to be our most popular, just in general. Phone mounting, and people are looking to put that on their windshield, put it on their bike, anywhere pretty much you want your phone. Beyond that, we have our vehicle base kits, which are going to be laptops, although now it's mostly tablets and keyboards and all kinds of peripherals. Those are extremely popular just because those go into, fleet vehicles are now all connected and they have all kinds of stuff bolted to them that need mm-hmm. to run. And so that's, I'd say on the commercial end, we have our VB kits, is what we call them. On consumer end, we have our X Grips, which are our phone holders.
And we'll obviously show some photos of this in, mm-hmm. when we display this, but everybody knows the Ram X Grip. I mean, it's universal in the fact of like, if you can get in your friend's car and you go, oh, it will fit my phone because mm-hmm. it will go to, they hold everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. We had a picture sent to us by a guy on a motorcycle where he had, like he was on his way home. The story goes, on his way home from work, wife says, hey, you need to pick up some milk. And he's on his little like Suzuki Rocket. And he's like, I don't know what to do. So pulls in, phone goes in the pocket, quart of milk in the X grip, puts the tether on, cruises home. So we have a picture of a quart of milk in the larger X grip. And it was, that was really funny.
I forgot that they have the tethers too. Make sure that you don't, I mean, every mount is great, but there's some way you will throw that off of there, no matter what the strongest mount. So
that's a good question. What are the more unique situations or mounting solutions you've had people do?
Oh man, let's see. We've done. There have been some crazy ones. Submersibles was one of them. That was pretty cool, both inside and outside for lights.
We've had. Outside. That makes sense.
Yeah. Some of the VB kits can get pretty crazy, especially when they're used for very unique, like we've had research vehicles
VB
kit them out, which is our vehicle base kit. So, it's one thing to have a laptop on it. It's amazing when they start getting multiple tablets and a printer off of it and scanners and other information connected systems.
You don't need a passenger seat. You can have an office.
Well, I was thinking like a mobile command center, a mobile office or something like, cause we had, oddly back in the day, we had to deal with that where it was like, how much shit can I bolt in here? It was like, cause you need all this, you don't need it often, but when you do, you need it all at your fingertips. And it was,
And we've had everything in between. The airplanes are always, whenever we do anything in aviation, that's always a fun one because we've gotten questions. One of my favorite questions has been, does it hold on the outside of a plane? And it's, well, we haven't tested it and we don't recommend it. But people are mounting stuff everywhere. I know all over the inside of everything from Cessnas to commercial airliners.
So the drag would be kind of a concern for some planes, right? but for an action camera, I could see that because you could do a GoPro on the outside.
There's suction. I mean, you know, GoPro and stuff like that is suction cupping those things to the wings. I mean, they're on like 172s and stuff like that. Yeah. It's not going to kill your aerodynamics, but I don't know. How do you, it's like, we're going to fly out over the desert. We're going to ram mount this. And if it falls off, well, we hope it doesn't hit anybody. The R&D's a little tough.
Well, I can vouch allegedly that a GoPro suction mount will hold at about 175 and problems.
Oh, good to know.
I've seen it on YouTube.
I mean, you made it on YouTube.
Been to Mexico.
Yeah, sure. That's interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, you see a lot of the, I've seen a lot, especially this weekend, a lot of the older planes, the 152s, the 172s, that didn't have glass cockpits in there. Now that people have the RAM mounts and they've got their tablets and everything, you know, somewhat digital for that. So that's interesting as far as, you know, and especially in the middle of the yoke. That's such a popular thing now because, you know, when you don't have to look down and you can, you know, especially if you're flying VFR or IFR. So so cool.
We have a ton of aviation mounts too. Jeff, who's our founder and he started RAM mounts, he's a accomplished pilot. And so,
can you tell that story a little bit about how RAM mounts came about?
Yeah. So it's, it actually oddly started in the marine industry. But it started 1992, roughly. And, essentially started out of a garage. Which is fun to say.
That's all good stuff does.
Yeah, and often that's said of like, oh, it started out of a garage, and we've since torn down that garage and rebuilt over it, but that's where our die-cast facility is. But it was a business prop pulling, did some CNC, but Jeff started with this ball mount and went from there. It was used in the marine world and kind of saw different applications, and it grew and slowly built on it. I think he was mounting wakeboards at first. There was like, that was the first design that he kind of developed.
Which says a lot about the ball mount. That's a lot of air resistance depending on what you're mounting it to.
Well, the different sizes, you go with the thick one.
I'm saying the fact that they would hang on. And if you've been in the automotive industry or been around, and I'm going to touch on this briefly, you've seen the fakes. They've been the China mounts that you look at them, you look at them wrong and they fall off. So there's something to, I mean, what makes this so
cheap plastic?
Well, I understand that, but I mean, I understand the quality that goes into it and the R&D and things like that. But there's obviously, you know, the way your mounts, what is the name of the thing that's in your hand?
Oh, this, sorry. I'm so used to having this. And this was just, I say this jokingly, but also it's true. This was in my pocket, and that's kind of how it is around the office. Is the stuff's all over. This is just actually it's our composite double ball arm.
That's okay. So double bar arm, like and that is, you know, if you know anything about these mounts, it's a double ended, so you can do double balls and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying my best to get through this by saying that. I know you have to cut
you
that
can
out,
do
but
it.
But it's you know, there's something about the fact that it obviously it's built for those the RAM balls, and the fact that it grips it in such a way that there's so many times that I've used mine and I've clamped it down and I'm like, this is at a weird angle. There's no way this is going to hold. And then 2 days later, it's still there, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the it's funny how often I see RAM stuff out in the wild on different products. Mm-hmm. Like if they think of the brand ProClip, who makes dash mounts for everything, like it's usually their molded nylon piece of plastic with a RAM ball mount bolted to it, and it still says RAM right on it. It's not even like they're trying to hide it. They're just like, yeah, here's this, and then we're going to package it all together for you. But it's all just like how interesting we can get a RAM ball to mount onto something, because they know, a lot of manufacturers know, once that ball is there, once that mount is there, the options are unlimited. In fact, I forget who it is. It's probably multiple brands that make motorcycle mirrors, and all they're selling you is this ball mount that goes into the OEM arm, mirror stem.
And then the mirror.
Yeah. And the arm and the mirror. But it's like, it's RAM, and then their mirror. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference, though, is it's their mirror. But other than that, it's all just RAM parts all together. I mean, I can't think of... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to think of a mounting solution that isn't based off of RAM, really, if I think about
They've sort of cornered the market.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, everything, all the knockoffs, though, every kind of, I was even looking around the office, like I said, every camera mount I have in here is based off of this design.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything modern today is based off this design. And it's funny to see now that, you know, well, I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, for that and that and that, it's everywhere.
Oh, so. It's really nice. And so what's cool is, too, that rubber ball that we have, you know, vibration dampening is like the major thing right now.
Yeah.
That rubber ball actually already introduces some vibration dampening into mounts. Mm-hmm. We have our own damper, which is for motorcycles, which is a whole different thing. But, you know, in an industrial setting, we have that ability to already bring in some of that damping, which is pretty cool and keeps that hold, which is always neat.
See, the more I look, more
the dampening thing is something we have run into.
Oh, yeah. I blew a camera out of my iPhone.
So I understand that deeply in the fact of like, and if you don't know what we're talking about, if you take a mount, a regular mount, and put it on your motorcycle and you ride, your camera will probably overheat and die in your phone. So, because it's trying to stabilize and it can't. So, having that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just noticed like the Visa mount here for monitors too. Like everything you can think of. Like
For mounting your Visa card? Yeah. Oh, Vesa. No, no, it's okay. Fair enough. So how long does something take? So you guys come up with an idea. What is the R&D process? How long does it take to bring? And I know that's a very wide question, but I'm saying, so you get a new vehicle out. The new Tacoma has come out. You know, you guys get a hold of one. How long before you guys can, obviously it's universal. And I'm answering a lot of these questions before you get to it, but I want a more specific answer as far as how long does it take R&D wise to put something on the market?
So we're fairly unique as a company just because we are smaller, you know, quote unquote, we are a couple hundred people. But because we have a robust engineering team, we actually turn stuff around fairly quickly once we actually go into design, which is pretty neat. We always like to test and go through that. But, you know, it's not like it takes 6 months to a year for us to really go through something. It can be very rapid, and usually we try to base stuff off of what we have too.
Yeah,
sure. It's nice to build on that.
You can grab from the parts basket. That's easy.
Yeah. But you know, it really depends on how complex the project is and what it is that we're looking at. You know, anywhere from, I've seen stuff turn around very quickly. I don't want to say weeks, but shorter, you know, weeks.
It could be done.
It could be done.
Allegedly.
You know, at least in designing and starting to talk and moving forward, all the way to stuff that might take a little bit longer with more considerations. So it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, because we were looking earlier, obviously, Dan was on there and he was looking at the GMC mounts, the tablet mounts that mount under the seat. Obviously, you have to have that truck there. You have to see where the bolts, where you can bolt something to. Is it generic? Will it work with something else? Things like that. So, I like that. The,
yeah.
the
Yeah, between the seat.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's great.
I've been looking for
this. This is going to get expensive radio. Looking
I know,
at this.
Because I was looking for a handheld radio mount. Yeah. That's the one thing I don't have is a handheld radio mount. Now, obviously, I knew they had them, but I mean, yeah. All right, let's talk about you a little more. All right, so you're an off-road guy, from what I can tell. Tell us about your Land Cruiser build and all that.
If you go back one more page.
Okay.
I know you can't see that on the podcast.
He got himself in the magazine.
I didn't see that. Oh, okay. There's a mule sticker there, too.
Hi,
friends.
So, yeah, I'm a Land Cruiser guy by way of...
We won't hold it against you.
Kidding. And it's... you fall into it, and then you fall into it hard, and then next thing you know, you're way into it.
You're preaching the choir.
I easily had double the cost of my Land Cruiser into my Land Cruiser.
Oh, yeah. We've kind of... We become a Land Cruiser family. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have a 2.5-year-old and if we're walking out the door, I'm like, which car do you want to drive? Like, not the Mercedes, the Cruiser, which he always loves. There was a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, proudest day lately has been the, can we go to Cars and Coffee?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
honey, I have to go. They want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kid says.
Yeah.
But yeah, so have a 96 Land Cruiser. Love it. Try to do everything I can on it myself. But obviously, as we were talking earlier, it's in the shop right now. So not all of it. It's a lot of fun. I use it. I try to use it hard. My philosophy is I'm trying to keep it as stock as possible with bolt-on stuff. So it's covered in ARB. So
yeah.
And stock.
Game but, wrong there.
You know, and just use it until I find a limit, which truthfully is a stock vehicle. It's really capable.
Solid axle, you know, front and rear, locked front and rear.
Yeah, I have, you know, 33s on it. It's only the center locker, and I've still tried small amounts of rock crawling, and you know, had it over the hood and water, and yeah, just seeing what it can
do. We tried really hard to find the limit of your 99.
Oh yeah, and mine was locked in the rear, but it was it was that perfect blend of scratched up enough and not new enough to where I would try things. Mm-hmm. And so it would be like, well, let's just give it a shot and just throttle through it and see what happens. And it just kept going usually. Yeah. It was me that backed off usually, not the truck. I was like, I don't want to go up that. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And many times we've been in there. I'm like, we're pointing towards the sky.
Oh yeah. And they're not small. That's, you know, whenever I push this thing, I have to realize I'm usually following, for a long time, I was following guys in little TJs. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go where you're going. And it would not back down, but they're bouncing through stuff. And I realize I'm trying to do the same thing. And this thing's just like a boat walloping through. Yeah. You know, that hood goes up and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'll just hit my throttle in.
I hope there's nothing in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
this is, I mean, in the catalog, page 26. This
in the
is
off-road catalog.
Yeah. In the off-road catalog, the top one-tenth of your...
Yeah. Yep.
Showing off the antenna mounts. Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, shout out to your web guy, whoever's doing this. This is a really nicely done way to do a catalog.
Oh, yeah. I'll second that shout out. Our web team and our marketing team does an incredible job putting this stuff together. It's really clean.
Even looks like the pages are...
Well, here. I mean, no, just, I mean, the amount of, like, just, I mean... I have a very, very light touch when it comes to web stuff, but knowing the work that goes into just getting this, like how you can click through, you see a product, oh, just click on it, highlights, takes you right to it. Like
that takes time.
Super well thought out.
Yeah.
So kudos to them. This is impressive. Which with them, when you have a product catalog, would you say you guys have like 5,000 SKUs or something?
Somewhere around that. Yeah.
Yeah. When you got that much product, you got to have a pretty well thought out website in today's world. And they've done an incredible job. So
obviously, you know, did you come from a background in sales, or did you sort of fake it till you make it kind of thing?
You know, fake it till you make it. This was my first, Ram was my first sales world. Before that, I had fully intended to go into marine biology and politics. So
those are very similar.
Yeah. So I was, you know, it was a complete change up. But I don't mind. I like talking with people, and it's really fun on this. It's a Lego kit. We get to help people build out mounts that help them do whatever they do. You know, one of my big words this like year has been enablement of like what adventure someone's going on, which has been really fun. And just seeing like, okay, how can we make that possible and happen? And even personally, just working with people when they talk to me of just like, hey, you know, oh, you want to mount your phone or you want to mount a GoPro or a light or any small thing. It's really cool to see that.
I feel like that would be fun. Like somebody calls in and is like, I need this solution. And you just go into a conference room and dump down a bunch of stuff and go, let's build something. That'd be fun.
We actually have a room.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got a mount room? Okay.
We have a mount room that's a ton of stuff. And it's basically that. You put people like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm mounting a tablet in my C-130. How do I mount it? And we go in and we're like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much vibration is there? All of it. Okay. So...
Now, when I went in there, like I said, there was some stuff displayed. Do you actually sell product out of there, or is it through your distributors?
It's all through our distributors and our resellers. So, we don't. We have that display there. That's more of our test retail display. But we don't sell anything out of there.
So. You wouldn't, and to those of us listening, you wouldn't know they were there. Like, I pulled up and was like, I don't think I'm in the right spot. Yeah. Like, even walking in, I was like, I don't know.
Just a few warehouses, nondescript front.
Yeah.
It's pretty hidden away down there.
What is the name of that area?
South Park.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how I forgot that. But yeah, it's a cool area. If you're great. In the Seattle area, drive around that area. I actually did after our meeting. It was kind of neat. So
there's some great food down there too.
Yeah.
Between Loretta's and Little J's.
Loretta's is awesome.
Yeah. Loretta's is really good. Good burger.
Yep. Man, I just want to buy everything.
Oh, yeah.
Go back one page.
You end up.
I like that idea of the handlebar clamp mount.
Yep,
like,
I was just looking at that.
Yeah, for the monkeys.
Yeah.
I love that one just because
it bolt through the ball.
I use it for all kinds of stuff, not just motorcycles. It's actually for some of our Bronco stuff. I've used it on all kinds of stuff. It's ended up in our kitchen before too. So
we need to get you guys out to one of our off-road days. I think that would be really cool to see, like just a. I don't know. I guess you could just take Brandon Ben Powell's Pinscour, which has got like more RAM mounts in it than in any showroom display I've ever seen.
All 5,000 mounts in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Like, I love the off angle, the one on the bottom there.
There's just a million ideas here.
Well, yeah, because you sit there and you go, how many times have we tried to mount something and you're like, oh, it's hitting the windshield. Like, I need it at a 45 degree angle. So.
Yeah. There's all those funny things where it's like, oh, you have it like at a 90. Oh, well, we needed something at a 30 and then a 45. And it just starts to expound.
And you have 5,000 SKUs now.
Yeah. And it just builds. Yeah. And
where are you guys going? Like, I mean, if you can talk about that, what's the next? When I look at the website, there's not much you haven't covered, but besides space shuttles or
side-by-sides, everything are covered. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're so universal, but is there a market you're trying to tap into?
There's always something. It's funny. There are rumors that we have been to space.
Yes.
We haven't gotten a photo of it yet, but there's rumors. But no, it's always what comes up, you know, and it's right now material handling is a big thing for us, especially with all the automation and control. Like our stuff factors in, our product factors in even more so than just a person interfacing with, you know, having to drive a lift truck or anything like that. People still have to be around to check on them. So mounting tablets, mounting information that way. That's been a big one for us. Transportation is always evolving. Like I feel like every time we hit a point where we're like, all right, transportation industry, like we have it figured out, and then they change something. Mm-hmm. So that's been ever evolving. In the automotive world, yes.
Just realizing a cup holder for the monkey. That's all. Yeah. And I found one.
There you go. They're great. They stay level.
No, don't encourage this.
They stay upright.
In our hands, this would not go well.
Yeah. Hot coffee on the monkey.
Hot coffee. Just trying to throttle through it. Yeah, so no.
In Moab, on the rocks.
Your product is wonderful. What we would do with it would cause third degree burns. Okay.
Same thing. Something like Voltron, the more you can hook together, the better it gets.
Yeah.
Go back to the website for a second.
There we go.
I want to talk a little bit more about this new GDS Unicon Universal Mount. Like,
this is
not just for in cars and things like this. This is going into hospitals and things like that, right?
Yeah. So it's pretty much anywhere. Healthcare is something that we're starting to be in more so. Pretty much so instead of mounting it in a vehicle rather than mobile, hard mounting it within a facility. We've always done that for manufacturing, but we're starting to see it be in retail, healthcare, et cetera. But our GDS system is essentially what
it stands
for.
Sorry,
global docking system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what it does is it takes any tablet. It goes into our IntelliSkin. So a case that goes around it, and inside the case is a connector that plugs into the tablet, mm-hmm. and it converts that connection to pogo pin pads. So then in our docks that we have desktop docks, we have vehicle docks, everything in between. There's a series of pogo pins that essentially convert that for power, data, etc. It reduces the wear and tear on that little plug that goes in the tablet, which is one of the biggest failure points. And it also makes it universal. So you can have, a charging station that has six ports in it and six different types of tablets, but they all drop all charge in the same.
So you can have an iPad, a Galaxy, whatever.
What's the data throughput on the pogo pin?
So we can... Really, we try to go with the tablets. There's many different levels of data throughput.
So say for media, because you would want like a high, really high pass through for something like media.
Yeah. So we have like our, the Samsung DeX system we actually have integrated into this. So that's a system where you have a monitor and a keypad, and essentially it's a phone that you click into the dock and it mirrors a desktop system on the monitor from the phone. It's the desktop experience. And so that's all run through this. You can run, there's hubs. So we have like a GDS hub that is multiple peripherals can connect into it. It's powered. And what that does is that connects the device. And you can run a lot of stuff. A lot of this is industrial, but we love playing around with it. We're playing with we had someone, and we've played with it with one of our engineers, connecting Starlink through the GDS hub so you could essentially hardwire your Starlink into the tablet that you're running.
Right, yeah.
In some of those cases.
I like the simplicity of it, the fact that, especially, and so many of us are going to that. Like, I just did that with my home computer, and the fact that I went to a small laptop, it just clicks into my hub. So this is something like this is very easy, but I see this as especially in delivery and manufacturing, it's you got your plumber in the truck, he grabs his tablet, goes into your house, does everything, clicks it back in the truck. It's simple. It's complete.
Even a barista at this point, everybody's using a tablet with a docking station.
It's true.
And I hear this all the time. I shouldn't say all the time, but I hear it often enough that they're wearing them out because they're plugging and unplugging, plugging and unplugging. And everybody's been asking for wireless charging on iPads because of that exact issue. And this is something that and if that ever comes around, Apple's, who knows when they'll release that. But wireless charging is great.
4 years after Samsung and the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. It's been around forever.
That's what I'm saying.
My Nexus.
They'll do it.
My Google Nexus, I think it was a Nexus 7 tablet, had wireless charging. That's 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe 12 or 14.
Way back in 14.
The day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 10 years ago. 2014. Yeah. Yeah. So 10 years ago, they've had wireless charging on their tablet and GPS, for the record. Apple. Yeah. Jerks. Anyway.
Get off your Apple box. He says that while sitting here with an iPad, an iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Two iPads. Yeah.
Two iPads, an iPhone. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's been a journey for Dan. That's all we can say. It's been a journey.
It's been a pleasant one.
Yeah. It just amazes me. Like I said, we've been to space. We don't have proof yet, which I feel like that's one of those things where they're getting ready for launch and they're like, oh crap, this broke. And somebody goes, I got something in my truck. Hold on.
I got my phone mount. I'm on a tablet in the shuttle. Watch Netflix. It'll be great.
Todd. We get good reception? Yeah, we're going to get real close to the satellite.
Yeah.
It's going to be really
line easy. Of sight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. How long has GDS been out?
We've had it at least, it's been over 6 years.
Oh, okay. Wow. So,
it's been out for a while.
Okay.
If not, better part of a decade. It's been out for a while.
That's cool. I guess I just, because it wasn't something I was looking for. I just sort of looked past it. I'm always on the site looking at the, all the other stuff, the automotive things. So.
Oh yeah. And they still are very heavy duty. We have a few different versions now where it's a little, I say lighter duty, but we still try to make it extremely rugged, and smaller form factors now. But before it was a larger case and we saw it in public safety. Mostly we saw it in some more, rugged environments, trucking was another one where we started to go a little bit thinner. But so it didn't make its way into the consumer front facing as much, but then it started to come over. I've even seen the system used, with the Starlink. There was somebody who had a race side by side And I don't want to say it was one of the more built up razors. And it was one of those ones where you realize it's faster than anything in your car, out there.
Yeah.
So they had a Starlink on the roof, and then it was wired down to a GDS tablet mount on the dash for all their navigation. And they had like a 12-inch iPad on there.
Go big or go home.
That's insane. Yeah.
Who around here in the Pacific Northwest, or even maybe you have a chain, would carry most of the RAM stuff in stock so you could go try it out? If I was a consumer building these systems, we don't really have a place to go to, but sometimes it's going to take that, I have a bolt
bin. Besides your back room.
Yeah, besides your back room. I have a bolt bin downstairs. I wish I had a GoPro bin.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few ways. If you do purchase it online from us, you can do will call. So you can drop in and we can have it there. I know Northridge 4x4 does carry it.
Okay.
There's a few places around. A lot of the Marines, like some of the Marine stores, will carry it. But
we need a RAM showroom so I can go try a bunch of stuff out. That would be really nice.
Yeah. Put it right next to the Lego store. That'd be convenient for all of us.
Yeah.
So I just ordered a GoPro mount for the R8 for the front bumper because on the 20, the facelift Gen 2, they got rid of the standard, the way you bolt in. You usually bolt off the tow hook and you mount a GoPro off there. Well, they have a different system on the 19 plus. And so I need to figure out a different mounting system. The one I got will work, but I'm not really a fan of the way it looks. So
I think we might have something.
Oh, look at that.
There's a chance we could probably figure something out.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So
you guys know something I don't? You're both grinning at each other like Cheshire Cats.
As much as they have.
There's got to be something.
There's got to be something.
I know a guy.
Yeah.
Come to the room.
Yeah. So I want to get a GoPro down by the front bumper. That's all.
Yeah, I got it.
I quickly learned that if you put it on the windshield, there's no room for it because the windshield wipers will hit it.
Don't turn them on.
Yeah.
Just put it above the windshield on the roof, looking down the hood. That's what we want to see.
I don't want to do the suction cup on the paint because of the S-deck. The whole car is covered in S-deck. Mm. And so it'll pull the adhesive up. Those suction cup mounts are so strong.
Yeah.
So then it looks really cool when it's down by the bumper too, because then you get that hyper fast, you can actually, the speed is more realized when it's down low.
Do you take those videos, Dan, then stand in front of the TV like you're Superman?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good for you. He learned that from me.
Yeah. Fly through the canyon.
Yeah, exactly. Whee! Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. Like I said, I don't think, being an automotive enthusiast and using it that way for so many years, I don't think I realized how many industries you guys are in and how,
Yeah.
And again, it was a wonderful surprise when I was there. You're like, yeah, we're in Seattle. And I'm like, oh, cool. I definitely want to go see that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. It's cool. Working there has been really neat with what you run into, what you work with, who you work with, because it's not pigeonholed into one. Even as me being the automotive aftermarket now, which I say that, and that's power sports, RV, aviation, sport aviation, and then motorsports and off-road.
Fun.
I still interact with all kinds of stuff. There's people that call and it's like, oh yeah, I'm the store that does, an off-road store. But we had a guy drop in and he's trying to outfit XYZ or his trucking company. Do you guys do that? And we're like, yeah. Let me get you to someone. So we do a lot of weird, random vehicles, random stuff.
Sure. Especially with overlanding and all the new, what are they called? The vans that everybody's using.
Oh, van life.
Van life stuff. And having all those, the Sprinter vans. I've seen so many of the YouTubers and stuff like that. You look and you're like, they've got their cameras mounted. Mm-hmm. They've got all their tablets mounted. They're mounting them, for running the vans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Now's a good time to be in the industry because everything between side by side, the popularity of side by sides, really expensive boats, off road vehicles, and overlanding motorsports. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably been and the reliance we have on tablets and phones. Mm-hmm. This is a good time to be working in the mounting industry.
Oh yeah,
it's ironic because we were talking about how last week's episode of how cars are getting so many screens and so many things, and we're like, you know what you should do from last year? Yeah. Mount more shit.
Funny on that. I was listening to that actually today on a drive because I was like, I listened to your guys' podcast. I listened to the podcast.
My audio was terrible. Morning. I apologize for that. Oh,
totally fine.
It was underwater.
And so I was listening to it. And I was like, oh man, this is hilarious that there's an entire show about reducing what's out there. And then I'm going to come in and be like, you should mount your iPad and your iPhone on your windshield.
It's different.
Depends what you're doing. Yeah. It's different. Depends what you're doing.
Yeah.
To that end, so the Mercedes we have, it's 2015 E350. I have a hot button on it that actually turns off the screen, which is great. Cause then it just becomes a German car. Still has the old style dash, just a little tiny screen, but it's nice to just get rid of that. And it's nice because then if I have a phone mounted in it, I do it off, down, away. And so I can have that disappear and either listen to like the navigation or just have it if I need it in one spot.
Enjoy your car.
And it's, and it's nice because then you can reduce those distractions and, you know, have more if you need
it. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I use, off road, I always had like three screens going. I had my in the thinking of the Raptor, I had the main screen for the, which showed my off-road status, and which is tire pressures usually because I'm aired down. And then I had Gaia or Onyx on my tablet. And then below that I had CarPlay going from my phone, and that was for music and stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm going like 10 miles an hour. you know, well, most of the time, not always in the Raptor. But I can attest those RAM mounts held up just fine over multiple jumps in the Raptor with the tablet on it.
Yeah.
So
I was in sport mode. Or what was the
phrase? I was in Baja mode.
I was in Baja mode. That's what it was. Yeah, when he left me in the middle of section two.
It's great sections on the Raptor. But that's where I wanted all those screens. And then like I get in like the Audi or something, and it's just, I love, speaking of which, I posted that on Avance. I said, you know, show us your favorite dash or tell me about your favorite dash. And I was surprised at how many people actually
thanks for telling me that, because I reposted the podcast.
Or you could look at the Facebook page and turn on alerts I have for you.
You know, first of all, we're going to get into this. I'm very rarely on Facebook. I have stepped up and put a thing on my calendar that tells me to post the podcast, which I do. And then I get in trouble for it today. You know, Dan already did that. Well, he's not supposed to, because he asked me to do it.
I did it early this week. It's because Nick was gone, and I wanted to ask the question of,
no idea.
Your favorite dashboard. And so people post up. I was surprised. It was pretty much universal between Porsches, 911s, until the 992.2, which I did take. Somebody pointed out the new one, the .2 facelift, is getting rid of the center tack, and it looks terrible. So Porsche, I'm disappointed in you. But their standard massive tack in the center, which they've always done, which I love. I love that on my Turbo S, but they did it really well. And then Audi. The TTRS, or TT and TTS, TTRS, and the R8, where they still have an all-digital dash, but it's like completely driver-focused, and you can make it go as minimal as you want or as robust as you want with full-screen navigation with, you know, your speedo and your tack out on the corners, just minimal displays for fuel, things like that, which I love. The other one, which I did point out, I felt pretty good that I was correct in my assumptions, the McLaren 720-750, where it folds down, and all you get is that little, just your tack. Love that. So, Germans. Yeah. Germans and one British car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously amazing. So obviously people can go to RAM mounts and order off of there, and there's a build on there, right? You can go in and build it.
Yeah, you can go on.
Build a mount.
Our build a mount, and it takes you through all the steps. You can go from vehicle or device and go from there. So kind of, you know, top down or bottom up, all the devices you can think of.
Dan just discovered
scanner gun, fish finder, printer, handheld radio. You guys have really vehicle mount PC.
I have been looking to put a scanner gun in my car.
Right? You never know when you got to scan a barcode.
Scanning a barcode or UPCing something. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I think I underestimated how many things you guys have, obviously.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much product you guys really provide and how many things. Like, a perfect good example, like, go back one, Dan. On the build amount, they have a build a thing. So, like, if you were handicapped and you could do it in a wheelchair, which is really cool, I think.
Yeah, that's super useful. Armrests, I mean,
I love our wheelchair mounts. I think that they're really cool. We had a lot of requests and a lot of people use them because of the versatility that you can mount accessibility options off of a wheelchair. Our trackballs fit into the wheelchair tracks, and that's what we found out years ago. And people were using our stuff. And so now we have all these mounts that people have put together, and we work with people who use their wheelchairs every day, that you can get whatever you need, any device, anything else, in the right spot. And we've even had people say so far, it's like, they can actually put that and then trust that it's robust enough to stay there, which is really cool.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody who, you know, you're trying to have more accessibility, and this really helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to spend too much money here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah. I have ideas.
Okay, great. Well, Nick, I really thank you for taking the time and driving all the way from South Park out here into the boonies, you know, getting to see the other side of the lake here.
Oh, it's a beautiful drive. Yes, I love it.
It was a fun time, yeah.
Do you have an Instagram or something people can follow you at? Or I know you're an Avance member, so.
Ram has one, and then for myself, it's at NLLH.
NLLH.
Apparently early enough to get a four-letter.
Look at you.
Four-letter Instagram, I know.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes me feel old or not.
You should fill it.
That's right, Facebook, which I never use. I'm facebook.com/DanPlatinum.
Hold on, that second photo, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beauty of an 80 right there.
Yep.
Yeah. I still want an 80 series. I want to LS swap it or Coyote swap it, Bronco. But I still want it.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's badass. That's the colors. We're out there. I fully expected to be like thrown over with like some of the JDM stuff. And they were like, oh, no, park next to Bentley. I was like, sure.
Yeah. You mean he gets to park next to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
That's the way you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Avance Colors event.
The Avance events for whenever I had to go park, like we've been to a few. So the first color or at the green, Avance at the green, that was hilarious because they're like, oh, yeah, we need a few more off-road vehicles. Go park in the paddock. They'll show you where. I'm like, yeah, over there next to the Lamborghini and a few others. And I've never had it. Like, usually for parking, I'm totally fine. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to park. Until I experienced parking a vehicle with steel bumpers around multiple $100,000 supercars.
Carbon fiber.
And I'm like, I this thing doesn't necessarily like slowly back up either. Yeah, it's always been a fun experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
You got a great Instagram.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to go off-road now.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
All right. Well, again, we really appreciate you coming. Can people reach out to you if they have questions and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Reach out to myself. Reach out to, Instagram's always a good spot. If you call the company directly, our customer support is awesome, too. They're used to all the oddball questions, so they've dealt with it all. So they're always great. But, yeah.
Very excellent.
Always glad to help.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. For this episode of the Avance Podcast, as always, I'm Nick.
I'm Dan. And don't just get there. Enjoy the drive.